This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Academy Awards have come and gone. Last night, the members of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences picked their choices for the different awards, and I think that they were all very good choices. I was particularly happy to see Marlon Brando win an award. Here's a fellow who is unquestionably one of the best actors in our business, if not the very, very best. Many times he's been up for the award. I think he should have won it for Viva Zapata, not to mention several other performances. And it was a very heartwarming thing to me. If I couldn't win it, of course I would have liked to. But this fellow was successful. I congratulate him, and I congratulate all the other Academy Award winners. I personally am renewing my subscription to Look magazine. I thought the show that Charles Brackett, president of the Academy, Johnny Green, and John Nicolescu put on, representing the presentation of the awards, was a beautiful job. Bob Hope was bland, unctuous, beautifully dressed, looked like a rich penguin. Walked like a penguin, too, I thought a little in his tails. But he was very funny, very amusing. It was a good, smooth show. Grace Kelly looked queenly, regal when she walked out on the stage. Wonderful girl, this girl. A great credit to our industry. All in all, it was a beautiful evening. I think probably the folks all over the country feel the same way about it. At least I hope so, because everybody worked very hard to make it an honest, dignified function. Well, here's a little song we got here. I recently recorded from Decca. It has rather a colorful history. It's an Hawaiian song, but it was written in Germany, first recorded in Germany, too, and a very good record it was. And the record moguls over here, the Decca people particularly, heard it, and they had an American lyric, an English lyric written by Johnny Bond for the song. It's called Jim, Johnny, and Old Jonas.
One night, while the full moon was shining, so bright, there was hardly one star, I strolled on a beach in Hawaii, and thrilled to a distant guitar, and there in the moonlight they wandered. Remade by the water so blue, and the sweet melody they kept singing. Now just listen, I'll sing it to you. Jim, Johnny, and Jonas, we miss you since you sailed away. Each moment without you gets longer and longer each day. Come back to Hawaii, back to your darling so true. Jim, Johnny, and Jonas, we're waiting, just waiting for you. Back to your darling, for two. Jim, Johnny, and Jonas, we're waiting, just waiting for you. We're waiting, just waiting for you.
Just want to tell you something, folks. Just want to put you wise, give you a little tip. April Fool's Day is tomorrow. So be on your guard against them practical jokers. Look out for the fellow who surreptitiously pins the kick me sign on your back when you're not looking. Be wise to the person on the sidewalk with the string attached or the hat with the brick under it. Be prepared for the sly ones who will point at the non-existent hole in your sock, the thread on your coat, or the smudge on your face, and then gleefully yell, April Fool! Why, a fella shouldn't even believe the Geiger counter tomorrow, I guess. Look out for... Well, I could go on and on naming the many pranks that are routine on April Fool's Day, but you know all the cute capers, so what's the use? Actually, there's not much use in advance warnings, because try as we will to avoid it, most of us all will be caught at least once on the receiving end of the cry, April Fool. And then as we gather our crumbling dignity and slink off with muttered imprecations and dark looks, we'll say, how did this foolishness ever start? Where did it begin, anyway? Well, I got to wondering about that, and I decided to look it up. What I was able to find out proved about as frustrating as a typical April Fool's Day joke. Because the truth of the matter is that nobody really knows for sure how the darn thing did start. We do know that the custom was brought over to this country from England, as so many customs were. But it didn't originate in England. In fact, it didn't really become popular in England until the 18th century. And it had been popular in France for almost three centuries before that, and in India for a couple of thousand years before that. If we're going to do the right thing and do it perfectly and examine this thing carefully, we might as well go back to the beginning. And that was in India, where the Feast of Holi is celebrated by sending people on foolish errands. This celebration takes place on March 31st and has been going on as long as recorded history there. There are two theories about its origin. In fact, I found in trying to track down the origin of April Fool's Day that there are always at least two theories. Sometimes there are several theories. Almost never is there any agreement about it. Anyway, the two theories as to the Indian celebration of April Fool's Day on March 31st are quite different. One theory maintains that it has something to do with the observance of the spring equinox. If you think I'm going to get involved in an explanation of what an equinox is, you're tuned to the wrong brainwave. I'm a man who don't know an equinox from a water buffalo, which is why I invariably leave sleeping equinoxes lie. So much for that theory. We blew that. The other theory is that the custom is a relic of Roman mythology. Well, the Romans did roam, so perhaps a Roman traveling salesman or something brought the legend to India. Another mile for a traveling salesman joke, though, isn't it? Anyhow, that leaves us with one definite bit of knowledge about April Fool's Day. It was celebrated in India centuries ago, but nobody knows why. There is a fairly plausible explanation for April Fool's Day in France, and it dates back to 1564. Up to that time, under the old calendar, the French celebrated the start of the new year on April 1st. But in 1564, King Charles IX changed it to January 1st. Well, the conservatives objected to the change, and so to badger them, the French wags sent these people mock gifts and made pretended ceremonial visits on April 1st. Seems to be considerable agreement on this, but there's considerable disagreement on why the person fooled in France on April 1st is called an April Fish. That's right, April Fish. One theory is that because on April 1st, the sun is leaving the zodiacal sign of Pisces, the fish, while another theory says it's because April fish are so easily caught. I have a third theory, which is that someone was tricked, and the trickster, for lack of a better name, simply called him a poor fish. One more theory to add to the already well-cluttered theoretical history of the origin and the meaning of April Fool's Day. Thought I'd throw that in there. Now you don't know a lot more about April Fool's Day, but at least you can't say you haven't been forewarned. I like to let people know what they're in for. Makes me feel like a commentator, you know, or an air raid warden or something. Now, let me warn you that for the next minute or so, you're in for a little song. That's what's impending, because I got a mind to warble. It's a song called The River. This was in Italian, the song that some enterprising fellow over here put some American lyrics to. It's rather an unusual tune, an unusual arrangement, too.
Within a whirlpool and doomed to drift forever in the storm, like the river that keeps rushing to the sea. This heart of mine keeps pounding, pounding restlessly. Oh, love of mine, as long as there's a breath of life in me, I'll wait for you until eternity.
End of this 15. Should we get together tomorrow night, huh? Same time, same place? Good night, Ben, and thank you very much.
Be sure to tune in again tomorrow night to Bing Crosby with Buddy Cole and his group, transcribed from Hollywood.
This is Easter Seal Month. In this period, you can help bring strength and happiness to thousands of crippled children by buying Easter Seals. These seals finance the important work of the National Society for Crippled Children and Adults, which last year helped more than 100,000 youngsters on the road to help. This year, the National Society hopes to increase its educational and vocational services and enlarge its Center for Crippled Children. Make a generous contribution by buying Easter seals. For top reporting first, hear the news on the CBS Radio Network.